I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because if you don't play the first 5 minutes of the first game, portal!
Yeah, see ya.
And that's what I wanted to ask, and we can bring Vernon to the conversation as this on this as well, as he's down at spring training in Surprise, Arizona, but the tournament's going on there as well. I think they have the stations down there. I don't know if they do or not, but I want to know from all y'all, like, I feel like there's less of an interest in the tournament than there's ever been. And is that because of the NIL and the portal? Are people losing interest in college basketball? Because as bad as the games were for the most part yesterday, I still enjoyed the hell out of it. I love watching the tournament, but I can sense from a lot of people, like, there weren't many people that did brackets seemingly this year. It just feels like it's more of a smaller event than it's ever been before.
I think it's a part of it. I don't know that we have the marquee names. Even the one and done types, you don't really know their names for whatever reason.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a publicity thing. Could it be Vital's not? I'm not even joking about this. Vital's going to come back and do games next year.
Yeah.
He's planning to anyway. But like, who, your biggest cheerleader hasn't been around for a couple of years.
I don't disagree with that. I think he's the most important thing that's ever happened to college basketball.
Who's promoting these people? So it's, I don't know. I think that's part of me. I just don't think enough household names. Good morning, Vern.
Good morning. I still enjoy the competition. Yeah, I'm still watching the games, but there's no one to hate. I don't hate an individual, even the Duke jersey. I don't know anyone on the team to truly hate anything other than the jersey itself. Yeah. So there's just nothing drawing me, and you're 100% right. I filled out a bracket because my buddies twisted my arm so they could rob me of $30. There's nothing drawn me. There was no anticipation. I'm watching the games because I love sports, but no, I'm not excited really to watch any of the games today.
Yeah. Well,
keep updated on them.
From the 816, speaking of old man conversation.
Basketball was better back in our day.
But the 913 says, I've loved March Madness for 25 years and it seems flat now. Yeah, flat. That's kind of the good way to put it. It just kind of seems it's a little flat right now. Like, I thought there would be a hell of a lot more of excitement, but also too, we're in a city now where two teams have been irrelevant this year and one, like, you know, was the preseason number one and kind of disappeared, and KU fans aren't like that, so they're Homer Simpsoning it back into the bushes. So I kind of feel like from that standpoint, since we really didn't have three teams that were involved
the market
this
a little
year,
bit.
Yeah.
Is there anything to the fact that we've now seen a 16 upset a one twice to where even upsets don't shock me? I'm not floored. I don't find myself, oh my God, can you believe the Oakland beat Kentucky? Of course I can. I've seen two number ones go down. It's not even shocking anymore.
No, it's not, especially with Kentucky too, Vern, because they haven't gotten out of the first weekend since before COVID.
That's amazing.
Right?
It's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Last night he had a three-hour edition of the Hot Stove Show. Bobby Witt, Cole Reagans, and much, much more. If you missed that, check it out, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app. For $39.99 per month, the Royals Fountain Pass will guarantee you access inside the K for every single Royals regular season home game this year. Guaranteed. Standing room only ticket to every game, including high demand and weekend games with the ability to upgrade your ticket an hour before the first pitch, all for just $39.99 a month. All the details at royals.com.
When you made that transition, I thought we were charging people now for the podcast.
No, podcast
have
is
you
free.
Guys had a conversation about your arch support and how your copper fit arch support
that we have not,
because that's me.
What, that's your old
that's
man
yours?
Conversation the
it.
Arch support,
how has
the
copper fit changed your life?
Supports.
Yeah.
They're
both
terrific.
Oh, it's not just copper fit and arch supports, they have a copper fit arch support. Well, this is
actually
massive news.
Game changer, Kling. Game changer. My lower back, my knees, just everything's gone to another level.
Actually, Vern, I did have that conversation Wednesday at the J. I'm not going to lie. I walked in and I was talking to some of the retired guys, and this guy, Larry Zimmerman, sitting there. I'll throw his name out there, right? and we're talking about running shoes. And Larry goes, I haven't been here in 2 years because I've been running outside and whatever. It, you know, I only see you at Romeo's. It's good to see you at the J, blah, blah, blah. I said, what kind of shoes are you wearing? He goes, I think he said he was wearing Asics. I go, I wear these Hokas. He goes, I tried Hokas, but there's an 8 millimeter difference from the front of your foot to the back of the foot. And I need like a 5 millimeter. We talked for about 15 minutes about the millimeter differential from the front of the foot to the back of the foot. Sure. Which shoe works best for that?
I've certainly had conversations bemoaning the fact that Nike doesn't have enough extra wide shoes.
Yeah, you're right about that. No, I'm with you because I used to wear the extra wides as well. And you're right, Nike is a smaller shoe.
Yeah, you got to go New Balance. You got to go Under Armour.
Yeah, you do. I go with Hokas when I'm doing for working out and running.
Yeah, that's what all the front office guys, all the coaches, all the big wigs out here are wearing the Hokas.
Yeah, you got to have good footwear.
It's true.
But I also get irrationally mad at people who use Hokas for their everyday shoe. Like, it's a workout shoe, in my opinion.
But if it's comfortable.
Yeah, if you're on your feet, you're a nurse, you're something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that,
It's comfortable. Didn't you wear it all the time?
I don't know. I don't know why. I get irrationally mad, which means I can't justify why I get mad, but I do.
Yeah, true. All right. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, we're less than a week away from the opener, boys. Yeah. So, let's go.
And we have the fifth spot in the rotation now set, correct?
Yeah. Like we talked about on Monday, Alec Marsh grabs that five spot. Daniel Lynch heads down to Omaha, and Jordan Lyles heads to the bullpen. I don't know when we'll be seeing him again, as he will be the mop-up guy. You're up by five. You're down by five. So Jordan Lyles now the 13th man on this pitching staff. And if you take a step back and remember where we were at the end of last season, the evaluation season that ended with 106 losses, I know I told you guys plenty of times I was worried about Bobby and MJ and Massey and Vinny and that young core of hitters becoming losers. You know, they had to make wholesale changes, and they have. As I predict, the opening day roster is going to have only 8 guys that were on the opening day roster a season ago, so 18 of the 26 have been kicked to the curb. And we talked about it on Monday, the aggressiveness of this organization, going the extra mile to get the additional free agent in Michael Wacha, spending, making that type of commitment, convincing Bobby Witt Jr. to stay here for at least 7 to 11 years. The aggressive move of not going the safe route with Wacha or Lugo in the opener, giving the ball to Cole Reagans, and now not taking the classic Royals route of, well, he's making a lot of money, he's got to get an opportunity right out of the gate. No, Jordan Lyles to the bullpen, stay aggressive, put Alec Marsh in that rotation. I think it's all in effort to make sure that Bobby and Vinny and that young core of hitters don't fall victim to what we saw happen to Merrifield and Dozier and Keller and Lopez, where you show up to the ballpark understanding that you're probably going to lose, accepting that you're probably going to lose, and almost expecting to lose. You did it for the young hitters on this team, and now it's on them. The coaching staff, the ownership, and the front office, they've done everything for that young core of hitters to be put in a position to play competitive baseball in July, August, and September. Now, the issue is you face basically every single playoff team from a season ago in the first 6-7 weeks of the season. That's why we're calling it the deep end, Kling. 2024, you're throwing these boys in the deep end, and really the goal is don't drown. You know, breaststroke, doggy paddle, float on your back, do what you got to do to maintain through the first 6 weeks of the season. Don't lose the fan base like you did last season. Everyone in that organization, in my opinion, has done their jobs, and now it's on the players. I don't have that much concern for the pitching staff, bullpen, or rotation. Good. My concern are those young hitters that everything this offseason has been done to help them. They say all the right things. They have outward confidence. But I know in their quiet moments when they lay that head on the pillow, there is still that quiet doubt in their mind that could become louder if things spiral early. So those first 6 weeks, you throw them in the deep end and you hope that they don't drown.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider here on 610 Sports Radio. Who's Ohtani got winning the Central?
I think he's going with the Royals. It's a nice sleeper pick. It's not too out of left field, a piece actually this morning on MLB.com, as they went around and surveyed the rest of Major League Baseball, asking players who's going to be the surprise team and in the sport. And first team on the list, your Kansas City Royals, one National League pitcher saying, every time I turned on the television, the Royals were making another move. They're taking aim at the American League Central. So, you know, Shohei's one of those players. I'm sure that they inquired as far as his predictions of who's going to surprise. So, yeah, I would think he threw down a few $100,000 on the Royals to win the division.
Who's he like in the brackets today? Did you get his bracket picks yet?
I think he had Kentucky. Oh. He's like me. I already deleted the app on my phone. I don't even care about my bracket anymore.
It's already gone, yeah.
It's gone.
So I do like the fact, though, Vern, that you know, Alec Marsh is getting that fifth spot, because in olden days of Royals baseball, they would have put Lyles in the rotation because they're paying him that money. And I like the fact that we all know Lyles stinks. Like, he is terrible. And so they're like, we're not going to do that. It's not fair to the rest of the guys to roll this guy out.
And you're right. That's exactly what Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo and countless others within, you know, the decision makers in the organization have said. We spent this entire offseason convincing Will Smith and Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo and Hunter Renfroe and all these other free agents to come to Kansas City because we want to win. We believe we have the talent. We can't spew that for months. Get here. Watch Alec Marsh carve up the Cactus League. Meanwhile, watching Jordan Lyles giving up big flies left and right. We can't spew winning. We can't sell winning. And then do what losers do, and that is follow the money and give guys roles rather than allow someone to earn, to win a role. So, but again, the coaching staff, the front office, the ownership, they're doing everything that I think any Royals fan wanted after, you know, bludgeoning us over the head with the evaluation season that ends with 106 losses. The ownership and the organization's done everything. It's now just on those players and most notably on those hitters.
Why isn't John Sherman getting the love then from Royals fans like he should be getting? Like, he's a Kansas City and a season ticket holder. He's spending money, doing all the things that Glass would never do, showing up, showing his face, letting everybody know who he is. Like he's doing he's anti-Glass.
Yeah. I mean, you know why. It's the stadium talk. It's unfortunate because, as I've said countless times, and people probably think of, you know, we're just being a mouthpiece. But ownership, to me, the only reason why you buy a team is ego and or civic pride. And I do believe that the Royals and their fans have lucked out, that you got one that's in John Sherman, where it's, you know, 55-45, 60-40 civic pride over ego. Now, he's a competitor. You saw that this offseason with his decision to go the extra mile, give Michael Wacha more than $10 million. We need to win. The fans need to see a winner. Sure, he wants to hold that trophy, And this, to me, comes back to the biggest question, the only question that really matters when it comes to the stadium, in my mind. Do you believe that John Sherman and his ownership group have the best interest of Kansas City in mind? Not that that's their number one priority, or sure, they want to make money, but do you think in their heart of hearts they have the best interest of Kansas City in mind? Getting to know them, the answer is yes.
The answer is 100% yes for me, yeah.
Yeah.
You may have touched on this earlier. Is the deep end your theme?
Yes.
Okay, so that will be our theme
Six
for the season.
6 weeks.
Okay.
Don't drown. We're just hoping that they don't drown.
Okay.
All right. Any update on Michael Massey? What's going on with that dude?
Back-to-back days, no baseball activities with lower back soreness, less than a week away from opening day. If we don't see him in the lineup by the intra-squad on Sunday, I don't think you can have him on the opening day roster. I don't think it's fair to him. Which would open up a spot for Nick Lofton and open up even more at-bats from Adam Frazier, who was terrific last night. Had a chance to introduce, hopefully,
the God Frazier. I like him.
He's a perfect veteran for those hitters that I'm talking about, that I'm worried about drowning early or spiraling early or getting into a negative headspace early on in the season. Frazier, Cole Reagans, James MacArthur, three of them most important Royals for the season. I don't know if the average Royals fan has truly gotten to know him yet. I think we did a pretty good job of introducing him to the fan base last night. You can find that on the All Things Vern podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get them.
So I didn't even have to do it. He sold himself. Have you recommended to Massey the Copperfit Arch Relief Plus?
I have not. He's probably a little sky high after that Illinois win yesterday, but that's a really good idea because it's
thank you.
I'm an athlete. He's an athlete.
Right.
I could help him out.
So is it the full insole, or are you talking about just the arch relief band?
Yeah, the band.
The band? You like the band. Okay. All right.
And you can maneuver it throughout the day, but if you need it to stay in one spot, it'll do that. And as the commercial says, this fits your feet, and your feet fit your shoes.
Wow. They should get that. That should be one of your sponsors, I think. One more thing on Massey. Does this open the door for Francisco Cortez?
No, he's still too young. No, he's got, you know, I mean, Dayton always talked about it. You got to go step by step from A to AA to AAA. Okay. You got to experience.
Do you really, though? Do you?
I think Cortez
Well, he's
is
not
ready.
Bobby Witt.
Cortez
you know,
is ready.
He's,
all right.
He's a raw talent. That's the word you hear a lot, raw.
Because I feel like that's baseball's ultimate crutch for justifying jobs is that, well, yep. We got to take it slow and, you know, keep everybody employed for 5 years while we wait for these guys to develop. Yeah. It's just a never ending
cycle. Meanwhile, Baltimore.
Baltimore's got, they're embarrassing. Like, they don't, there are too many good, have too you many. Seen the Baltimore story? There are too many good players.
They don't do them.
They may have to make a trade before opening day because there are too many good players.
Yeah.
And they've already made a big trade to acquire Corbin Burns, who the Royals are going to see in the sixth game of the season.
I told you guys, I love Baltimore for the last 2 years. They're a fun watch on TV, and they're doing things, and you watch them, you're like, damn, I wish that was us. And maybe that can be us now. Maybe we can kind of get that momentum from Baltimore. But yeah, I mean, like, they just bring their guys up and they let them play, and like, we was like, oh, better season him for 5 years like firewood.
Well, you look around now with Bobby and Baltimore, Julio Rodriguez. I think you're seeing more young talents skip those steps. Unfortunately, I don't think the Royals have those guys right now in the system. More so, they have some pitching down there. Still waiting on some hitters to develop.
Thank you, Vern.
Thank you.
Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider again. Check out his full Hot Stove show of last night, 3 hour edition. Bobby Witt, Cole Reagans, and much, much more. Check it out, 610sports.com or the Odyssey app.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.